Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy in chapter 11. Deuteronomy and chapter 11, verse 18. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be a frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. It is important that we as children of God understand our responsibility. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, what is being described here in the Pentateuch, what is being described, it doesn't sound like just a Sunday morning kind of religion. If we're supposed to have Christ, fast forward to the New Testament, we're supposed to have Christ all over our lives, 24/7, 7 days a week, serving God, making him primary. Verse 19, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's a whole life, all the way, relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's to be transferred to our children. Then a couple more verses. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, all over your home, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. A little bit of heaven here on this earth, if we raise our children right, and the only way we're going to raise our children right is if we are living right ourselves. Boy, there is the big... That's the big to-do list right there. We are called of God not only to be born again ourselves, not only to reach the world in which we are living, not only to build an eternal life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, but also to prepare the next generation as well. Can I say it like this? It's not original with me. It's very simplistic. We are to live like Jesus is coming today. And we are to prepare and build like he's not coming for another 100 years. That is the crux of the message I want to preach this morning. Go to Matthew in chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Jesus teaching and preaching on the mountainside. 111 verses gives to us great truths for being born again ourselves, and then for reaching the next generation as well. Look what it says here in verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Sometimes all we do is read that first verse, and I want to put everything in its context. And the Greek word, therefore, judge, means it speaks of a critical spirit. Now, the Gospel of John, other Bible interpreting Bible, there is a time to judge. There is a time to use the Word of God as our measuring stick and judge. But to develop a critical spirit, that's a big mistake. And the last thing this generation needs right now is critical, bitter fundamentalism. Doesn't need that. It needs a fundamentalism, a someone who knows the truth, but yet they love souls, and yet they have the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. So he says, that's a hard balance to strike. And preparing the next generation, if we don't strike that balance in our homes, teenagers are going to be turned off to the truth. They're going to be turned off to God. Little boys and little girls in grammar school, they're going to think religion is nothing but the externals. Now, I'll say this before I read the next verse. There are do's and don'ts. There are externals. There are boundaries. I heard a wise preacher say this one time. Standards do not create holiness. Standards protect holiness. For us to think that the standards, that is what we are all about, that is wrong. But standards do protect holiness. It's kind of like the banks of a river. You got to do and you got to don't. And because you got two banks on that river is going somewhere. It flows. But you remove the standards, you remove the banks, and that river turns into a swamp and it ceases to flow. That describes a lot of churches and a lot of people. There does need to be do's and don'ts. There are things in the book that are sometimes hard to accept because it fights against the flesh. We are to dress a certain way and not dress another way. But we're to somehow teach that lovingly. We are to speak a certain way and not speak another way. But we need to teach that lovingly with the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. You don't avoid the truth. That's like, you know, every man, we're to dress modest, right? Let me just say this real quickly. This thought just came to me this morning. Every man in America knows what's immodest until their teenage daughter convinces them otherwise. Every man that's physically healthy knows what is immodest until the princess takes over or the prince takes over. There are do's and don'ts. There is right and wrong. There is light and darkness. That's why Paul said, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Man, you don't go there. Yeah, not as a child of God. But in it all, as a New Testament local church, as New Testament fundamentalism, we've got to keep the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. And love does cover a multitude of sins. And I'm going to love you even if you smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I'm going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. I'm still going to love you, and it isn't going to change that. And somehow, some way, we have got to reach the next generation. I want the next generation to know that Pastor Rader loves God. That's what I want them to know. There's some do's and don'ts, but he loves God. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And I will tell you again, don't breed bitterness. Let me read verses 3 through 5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam or the plank that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. But for the grace of God, there go I. Every time I see someone straying from God, I know I'm capable of the same stuff. I know that if I'm not careful, if I don't guard my heart, like the Word of God says, I'll be right there. And the truth is, you can convince yourself of anything if you stop reading the Word of God and if you stop reading the Bible. Amen. So passing on and preparing the next generation, I do not want to develop a critical spirit within them. I want to develop a love for God. Amen. With the truth, a love for God. And don't get me, America's gotten so soft. I talk to people all the time. Well, I'd go to church, but my parents made me go to church when I was a little one. I said, give me a break. They made you go to school, too. You know, they made you eat your peas, too. You know, quit being so soft. Grow a little bit of backbone. That is not an excuse. When you stand before God, that will not be an excuse for being unfaithful to church services. So as a child of God, again, balance. Let's not develop. Here's what happens. If you just enforce rules on Junior, And you never explain why, you never hug him, and you never love him, and you never show him the right proper attitude towards God, he's going to get bitter because he thinks it's a religion. And it's not a religion. You and I know it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's not, in the next generation, let's not create bitterness. The worst thing you can do, by the way, is if a teacher disciplines somehow, I'll just use the word disciplines Junior, and then you stick up for Junior in front of Junior, that's a mistake. You are creating a monster that will not respect authority. A lot of us grew up this way. Even if the teacher was wrong, in my eyes as a little boy, as far as Dad was concerned, the teacher was right. And he let me know about it. And you know, that's just right. You don't want to create that privileged generation. So we've got to reach not only the old timers, we got to reach the millennials. Not only the millennials, We got to reach the Gen Zers. We've got to somehow incorporate these truths. Now, I got to pick this up. I only covered one so far. Look what it says in verse 6. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs or the semi-wild animals or the hogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, that is a cryptic proverb that Jesus is quoting here in the book of Matthew. But he's saying out there in this world in which we live, there are some people that have no appreciation for spiritual things. There are some people, they're rebels, and they desire to be rebels. And here's what I would tell you and tell and try to incorporate and try to pass on to my children. Don't waste your time with the God deniers, with the rebels. Give them the truth. Love them. Give them every opportunity. But man, if they're a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You can argue with someone till the cows come home, but if they just got a wall, some people just like to debate. Some people, they love crisis. They thrive on that. Don't waste your time with those people. Give them the truth. Love them. Don't reject them, but move on is what it is. And you're going to go all through life. Even the next generation, you're going to find this out. Young people, listen to this. Things are going to go wrong. Don't get all caught up in it. You're not tied to your past. Man, you look ahead. You press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. So don't develop a critical spirit. Don't waste time with those that are rebels. There are too many people that are hungry to waste time with that kind of people. And by the way, young people, you don't have to be popular. Not in the world in which we live. You don't have to be liked by everyone. Does that make sense? That is not the epitome. Popularity is not the epitome of success. As a matter of fact, most times it is the very opposite. Look at verses 7 through 11. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Prayer is of the utmost importance. The next generation needs to learn that. Persevere in prayer. Look what Jesus said. And this is in the present tense. That means you keep on asking. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Ask and ask and ask. Seek and ye shall find. Seek and seek and keep on seeking. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And keep on knocking. Persevere in prayer. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's prayer power. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Make sure the next generation learns at your feet that there is a God in heaven that answers prayer. There is a God in heaven you can take all of your problems to. There is a God in heaven that hears when you call out to him. Go to Hebrews in chapter 4. I know some of you would know this text, but Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. You don't give up. You don't quit. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So when the crisis comes, you don't throw in the towel. We have a great high priest that understands. And he says in the last verse, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The next generation, I fear there's too many in the next generation, they don't know that God actually answers prayer because they've never seen it happen in the life of their parents. What a shame. Some of you don't know this. The least attended service of Fundamental Baptist Church is prayer meeting. And I said it last week, it is the boiler house of the church. There ought to be not just 60, 70 people here in prayer meeting upstairs. There ought to be hundreds asking God for great things. And prayer meeting the Wednesday night before directly correlates with the Sunday service the following week. I just seen it again and again. We had a great prayer meeting this last week. Another thing, you might be here and you're not part of the prayer devotional that comes out between 9 and 9:30 every morning. You ought to get to the office and get your phone number on that list. You say, it's a bother. Prayer is not a bother. And it's all about connecting. Now, it keeps everybody connected because we're scattered hither and yon and hours, an hour in that direction, and an hour in that direction. Really, a couple hours in that direction, maybe even 3 hours in that direction. And it keeps us together every day. Get on that prayer alert. You know why? Because prayer works. Prayer is real. And the next generation needs to be taught that. Don't develop a critical spirit. Develop mercy and hold to the truth standards. Don't waste too much time on rebels. There are a lot of people out there hungry, and you don't have to be popular. Persevere in prayer. Prayer is of the utmost importance. I already read the text. Pray big and pray bold. Ask God for great things. Look at verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Be selfless. Look up here. No selfies in the family of God. I mean, spiritually speaking, no selfies. Consider, esteem others better than self. Be that guy. The guy that everybody can count on in the church. Be that guy. The guy that people know, that's the one I call when there's a crisis. Be about others. Be selfless. That is the opposite. Is there a more 21st century America, is there a more narcissistic, selfish generation of people anywhere in the world? I don't think so. I think this is it. I think we're here in America. We're the ones with the silver spoon in our mouth as far as the rest of the world is concerned. And we're all about ourselves. And we're all about getting more. And we wouldn't say we worship Mammon, the god of gain, but we do. And we're all about what more, how can I get even more comfortable? And what can I give my kids so that they'll have, the, you know, just all about that. And the word of God teaches just the opposite. And we would do the next generation a great favor if we teach them to be servants, like Jesus was. Where the men sat down and he rose and he girded himself and took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. The job of the lowest servant in the household. No selfies. You are not the purpose of life, nor am I. God does not work for us. We serve him because he's a good God. Look what it says in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I'll come back to that in a moment. Heaven is not for the elite, but it is an exclusive way. It needs to be a sure salvation. But before we get to that, he says in verses 13 through 20, beware of false prophets. Verse 15 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Beware of the flash in the pan, culture pandering, one generation religion. In other words, all they are about is whatever the fad is of the day. I'm concerned for America. There's too many churches. It's all about entertainment. It's all about the fad of the day. They call themselves seeker sensitive. Well, you know what? I want to be Savior sensitive. Amen. And I want to be fishers of men. I want to bring them to a holy God. It's not about me sitting down having a beer with them so that I can have an opportunity to lead them to Christ. So as children of God, there is a holy God in heaven. And his holy son, Jesus Christ, went to an old rugged cross and he nailed the handwriting of the ordinances to the cross. Colossians in chapter 2, Colossians in chapter 1. And man, he fulfilled the law and he fulfilled all righteousness. And then he went to the grave and then he rose again on the third day. And then the church was born. He said, go get them. You go tell them about what I've done for them on Mount Calvary. You go tell them how they too can be born into the family of God. And we not only are to evangelize, let's prepare the next generation. If you raise a bitter fundamentalist, you have failed. And somehow, some way, in your home, you're not teaching them the love of God. I don't mean, a syrupy, just accept everything, because there's false teachers. You need to understand, don't be a spiritual sucker. Graduate from high school. Go to a university somewhere and hear some slick presentation and buy into it. And grandma and grandpa and dad and mom, they're all wet. They didn't know what they were talking about. I tell you, hold to the word of God. We need to prepare that next generation. Let me read on. Verse 17. Even so, every good gift or every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt. And by the way, that Greek word for corrupt there means poor quality. Might not all be error, poor quality, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Ichabod, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Would you turn over there quickly? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. You know why? There's false prophets. Just because somebody walks up to a platform with a King James Bible, that doesn't mean they're speaking the truth. It says, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's exactly what Jesus said. Wolves wearing sheep's clothing. The wolf is not interested in taking care of the sheep. The wolf was looking for something free. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone. And now verses 21 through 23, he says, be it known, there's false prophets. And also there are false professors. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let me say it again. There are men in pulpits all over the world, all over America, that aren't born again. They know all the language. They know all the lingo. But there was never a time or a place where they repented of their sin and received Jesus as their Savior. There was never a time when they were born into the family of God. And they might be real close to getting saved, but until they receive Christ, until they repent of their sin and a heart cry, receive Jesus as their Savior, they're not going to heaven. I said it in Sunday school this morning, even Judas kissed the cheek of the Savior, Garden of Gethsemane. You realize Judas kissed literally the door of heaven and still went to hell. You must, Jesus said, be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God except he be born again. Many will say to me in that day, he's talking about the great white throne, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Make sure of your salvation. I got to start wrapping this up. I got a couple more verses to read, and I'll be done preaching easily before 12, because I'm conscious of it, and then we'll have the announcements afterwards and we'll be done, all right? But make, talking about preparing the next generation, make sure your children are saved. Make sure they're born again. There's a danger. They come to church here. They know all the lingo. They go to camp. Maybe they come to the Christian school and they know the hymns by heart. They've even memorized some Bible verses. This is not unusual. The president of our student body at the Bible college that I went to got saved when he was a senior in college. And he was a president. He was a spiritual leader. Never born again. Jesus said the day's coming, the great white throne, when preachers that were not born again will stand before me and I'll say, depart from me, accursed, I never knew you. You were never mine. You were never born again. Next generation, don't develop bitter fundamentalism. Love for God. Next generation, don't worry about being popular. Teach them to persevere in prayer. Teach them to be a servant. No selfies in the family of God. Understand there are false prophets. There's all kinds of one generation ministries. And their fruit will not continue. And it's going to get weaker and weaker. Where will they be 10 years from now? One old preacher said this. I've never forgotten it. I think it's full of wisdom. You show me the direction a man's feet is pointed in. Is the direction his feet are pointed, I'll tell you where he's going to be in 10 years. Lot opened the tent door to Sodom and Gomorrah. Man, the plains were well watered. Man, it looked like it'd be very fruitful. And that's where he ended up. And look how it went for him. That's not what you want. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false professions. Make sure you're born again. And then look at the last part of chapter 7. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You know that story. Build on the bedrock. Other foundation can no man lay than that is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. David 14 times in the Psalms called God his rock. In the land, in the day of shifting sand, the culture in which we live, man, you need to build on the rock, Christ Jesus. That's a ministry that will last 100 years. That's a ministry that is not following the fads of the day. As children of God, we want to build not on a false foundation, but on a rock solid, bedrock foundation. That needs to be taught to the Gen Zers. That needs to be taught to the millennials. That needs to be taught to the old timers. Let me read it again. Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Those crises, they will come. They will come, and you're going to need to be built on the rock, Christ Jesus, in order to withstand the storms of time. Don't build on a false foundation. Jesus is our hope. He is our lifeline. Go back one more time to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Mom and Dad, the next generation is in your household. Amen. Grandma and Grandpa, you hold great sway. They may not be under your roof, but you have great impact. What are you known for by your children and by your grandchildren? When they think of you and your name comes to their mind, they love you. What do they think of? How do they think of you? We have a great responsibility. Deuteronomy 11, 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart. He's saying to the children of Israel, the Hebrews, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And the Hasidic Jews, they misinterpret this passage altogether. But this doesn't sound like Sunday morning Christianity. This sounds like it's there all the time. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. We have a great responsibility. To wrap this up this morning in a sentence, we're not only to reach the world with the gospel, we're to reach not only this generation, but the next one as well. That's why Fundamental Baptist Church has got to stay rock solid with the Bible. That's why we have got to have both feet planted on the Word of God. That's why there's no denomination telling us what to do. That's why there's no state headquarters telling us what to do. That's why there's no Bible college anywhere telling us what to do. Our headquarters is heaven. And right here is our polity. It's the Word of God. And we stand by it. And if we ever stray, then we're building on sand. Seen it too often. If I can find a note that I made this morning, and I am looking, maybe it's in Mark chapter 1. Let me look real quickly. I want to read that quote. Here it is, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This is a quote out of one of his sermons. Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to come to Christ and not to destroy themselves in the fires of hell. There's a burden.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.